Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. Talk about this morning, you know, before we're, you know, the time of course moves quickly as we are speaking, but this is so important. We have some things we want to unfold because you need a foundation in your life. You need to know our foundation. Of course, a foundation is different than a cornerstone. A cornerstone is what you build off of. A foundation is what you lay down. And people say, well, your foundation is Jesus Christ. No, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything is laid with the plumb line of the cornerstone. And so our foundation is God's word. You know, what he says about everything. It's not, oh, just Jesus. Like, no, it's Jesus is what Jesus says. You know, and so in this in one aspect of that, you know, and you're hearing this kind of laid down some of those foundations so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. It's important because there's nothing more evil than a religious spirit. And a religious spirit hears things differently. Mm-hmm. And they begin to accuse in a way when somebody else was just talking about what is. But then God's perspective of that, or looking, searching out what God's perspective is. The question, this is a very, very important question that I want to just think about and just begin a conversation about. And it's so important to know the answer to this question because it'll change how you handle everything, how you relate to your family, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to your parents or your kids or your boss, or how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your people that are in your church gathering or not, how you relate to people who are in other religions. You know, this is the question. The question is, who does God love? Who does God love? I mean, you think about that. That's such an important question because when you look around, you start everybody, you know, who don't understand what we're going to talk about, what I'm going to be talking about, is that if you look at them, it seems like they're saying God loves them. You know, they're saying, this is what they're saying. They're saying, God loves me. God loves me, you know, and then when they express everything else, it's like, and God hates you. Mm-hmm. And it'll change your perspective when we begin to answer that question, you know, who does God love? And when we find this out, it'll cause you to look at the news differently. It'll cause you to look at people differently, men differently, women, children, people of other ethnic groups differently, people of other nations differently. People of other political affiliations differently. I mean, everything's different. It's totally different. If you got to get this because, you know, one of the foundational truths that we talked about is like, who are you calling good? And you can go to VFN TV and watch that. You need to watch it because if we don't get past this, that revelation is that you go around trying to be good and you aren't. And so you're constantly defeated and everybody thinks you're good. And so they don't look to good himself, which is God. And Jesus said, who are you calling good when they called him good teacher? The only one good is God. And so you can see that on VFN TV. Now the question that we're asking is, you know, who does God love? And if you really talk to people who are caught up in oppression and a religious spirit of the land, that a lot of people claim to be related to God or to a God, but they don't feel loved by God. You know, and that's the one thing the enemy wants to destroy is the question and the answer to the question, who does God love? Mm-hmm. Here's the answer. God loves mankind. Mm-hmm. That men, everybody that you've ever seen before in your life, everybody that you're ever going to see and people that you're seeing now, They're created in the image and the likeness of God. No matter what they're doing, what they have done, that he loves them, mm-hmm. which is you. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped loving, quote, them, unquote. He loves mankind. I mean, he tells us, you know, while we were yet sinners, while we were just cursing his name, while we were refusing to hear anything he had to say, while we were living our life totally opposite of him, even creating new versions of what we called him that wasn't him, he still was madly in love with us and is madly in love with you. Mm-hmm. Not madly. I don't like that word. He is deeply in love with mankind. And so what is while we were yet a sinner, while we were, well, and a sinner, sin means missing the mark. And the mark is God's laws, God's commands. And God says, this is the way it's going to go. And so sin means we don't do it God's way. That's sin. Mm-hmm. And every man has sinned and fallen short. And so when we were doing things not God's way, intentionally or unintentionally, God loves us. God loved us and God loves us. It means that God's love for man and women who are held captive by a religious spirit and even seem to be hateful, that God loves them. God loves hateful people. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means that God loves the church leaders that seem to have sold out for political correctness and now skipped over the parts of God's word and truth that cause people to feel uncomfortable. They've compromised God's word. Mm-hmm. God loves that man. God loves that woman. While we were yet a sinner, you have to understand, if you misunderstand this, you'll begin to be a religious person instead of a message person that's delivering the God's message of love to mankind. It means this. What does that mean? It means that God loves the man and woman who is sought to profit financially by establishing an organization or joining an organization, religious, that have used it to transfer finances of God's people to fuel their lavish lifestyles, their mansions, their planes, their luxury vacations, while God's people are deceived in giving towards that and trying to scrimp and eke out a living even to pay their rent. I mean, we got to get this. We're trying to build a dimension of God's love here.
Right.
We have to understand this. This is God's not delivering religion. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. Love is what will get you to willingly say, I will put myself on the cross. What does it mean? It means that God loves men and women who struggle with, who have given themselves over to the gay or lesbian lifestyle, including those who chose to be married. I mean, you see people today, they're yelling, hate. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's not the message of God. It's not gonna help. You just made them seem like they're hated by God. The truth is they're loved by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It means that God loves Americans who vote and those who don't vote. He loves Republicans, Democrats, independents, and whatever party that's out there.
Right.
This is important because you're hearing people hate people who don't think like them. And then they migrate God's, they lie about God, saying God hates them too because I hate them.
Right.
And God loves. Who does God love? While we were yet a sinner, God... Wait a minute, what does that mean? That means that God loves mankind. Well, he loves mankind. What does that mean? The people that you hate, he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If you do hate. I mean, hopefully when we finish here, you'll become a believer, you know, and right. Leave your religion and get into a relationship with the God who loves you. It means that God loves that tattooed and or pierced man or woman, and he even loves the one who never tattooed themselves or pierced themselves. He loves them both the same. That's what it means. It means God loves the presidents in the world. God loves kings. God loves queens. God loves dictators. God loves socialists, Marxists, and communists.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said, I can't believe you're not a, and he named a party, and it's like, that's God's party, dude. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Don't even put that on God.
Who does God love? God loves Jews, Arabs, Chinese, Spaniards, Germans, Indians, Russians, Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, Africans, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Hungarians. He just loves all of us. God's not in your box. Listen, if we want to save this country, mm-hmm. it'll begin with understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're divided now because religion said that God loves this person but doesn't love that person. And so we don't deliver God's message of love that brings people to a loving God. It means this. It means that God, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. What does it mean? It means that God loves Muslims, God loves Hindus, God loves Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Scientologists, and all the many, many different people religions. Who have a different, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. they're human beings created right. in the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I mean, if any point, this is not biblically or doctrinally correct, because we are not. Why should we even have this country as Christians? Why should we say, hey, this is a Christian nation when we don't even minister the love of God? It means God loves your ex-wife and your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
God's not buying into your ex-spouse's evil. God loves your ex-spouse. And the way that you're ridiculing your kid's father in front of them, ma'am, is not a witness of the love of God.
Mm.
God loves your children's father. It means that God loves absent fathers' children. It means that God loves the man or woman who is addicted to alcohol, drugs, who continually seems to squander every attempt for them to be rescued because the addiction pulls them back on the street. Listen, God loves that man. God loves that woman. It means that God loves the victims of crime, but he also loves the suspects in the crime.
Mm.
It means that God loves everyone in prison, including the warden, the guards, the cooks, the prisoners, and the visitors. It means that God loves the abuser and the abused. It means that God loves men and women who have skin color that's different than yours. It means that God loves women and men and children all the same. It means that God loves the oppressed and the oppressor. It means that God loves the man and the woman who sits lost in the crowd of a man and a woman who stood in front of the crowd for years teaching the word of God the very same way. You can't see them in the back, but God loves them the same.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves the one who stayed faithful in God for years and hasn't given their life over to sin, but it also means that God loves the prodigal son and daughter who once walked with him. The presence of God's people, even though they walked in it at one time and they squandered their life for sexual sin and self-indulgence, whatever it is, God's in love with the backslider. That's what it means. It means God loves the man and the woman who sits hours after hours behind computers, mobile devices, and cell phones, filled with lust in their heart for sexual images that are just all over the internet. It means that God loves the Christian man and the Christian woman who wants to walk right before God, but they just keep falling again and again, over again, and wiping themselves off and resetting themselves again and say, you know, I'm going to follow God. I've failed, but I'm going to follow God. It means that God loves the ministers who profess to be spreading his kingdom, but in reality, they're building their own kingdom. Mm. It means that God loves those who cheat on their taxes and those who pride themselves on paying every dime. It means that God loves the man or woman who uses their God-given gifts such as music, prophecy, speaking, deliverance, healing for means, for profit, for financial gain. But it also means that God loves the man and the woman who uses it rightly. Mm-hmm. It means that God loves your enemies. And when Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:43-44, he tells us, you know, that he's asking us to do the very same thing that he does himself. He says, listen, he says, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, this is Jesus who you profess to follow. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of our Father in heaven. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself. Mm-hmm. When we get this truth, the revelation of God's love towards mankind, it's going to be easier for you to forgive those who sinned against you. It's going to be easier for you to love those that are difficult to love. It's going to be easier to experience loss and persecution without retaliation. For us to retaliate, we're retaliating against that man or woman that God loves. For us to hold unforgiveness towards somebody, we're holding unforgiveness towards someone that God loves. That's why he says, if you forgive, I'll forgive. Mm-hmm. How can we hate the one God loves and claim that we're sons of God when we're hating the one he loves? It means that God's love for us is for all of us while we were still sinners. And that means what? Not doing things God's way. He loved us so much. Every one of us. That he died for us. He died for you. Why did he do that? Because he needed to be a sacrifice. Something had to be done. He loved you so much. And there was an issue between. There was a distance between you. There was something. There was this chasm between you and the one that loves you. And it had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with, because he loves you so much, it had to be dealt with by taking his son whom he loved to be a sacrifice for you. A payment had to be made. There had to be a payment. It's like, I love my son, but I love you too. I love this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this child. And I love all these nations. There's a chasm between us called sin, and it has to be dealt with. But it's not them. It's the sin. And I love them. I don't love that thing that separates me from them because I want to be with them. So as the adversary seeks to divide men and women, nation from nation, kingdom against kingdom, know that despite all man is doing to divide and conquer mankind, that God is still seeking to unite us, to unite mankind, whom he loves, with himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fall prey to the adversary's tactic that tells you God hates, and you fill in the blank. The category of a person. Because it's not true. God loves them. For God is love. He so loved the world. That's us, mankind. That he gave his son. Whoever. That's all of us. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but we can be with him forever. We'll have eternal life. Why? Because he wants to be with you forever. He loves you so much. I don't care, ma'am, what religion told you. God loves you. Don't take your life, Idaho. 7% of the children, they're going to school that you've been surveyed and they say that you want to end your life. Don't end your life. That's the devil. God loves you. You're struggling with your sexual identity. God loves you. I know religion said that they that God hates you, that's the devil speaking through them. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He wants to be, he loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. Our distance, you see, our distance from the one who loves us, God, is not measured in miles and feet and inches. I mean, imagine being in love with that which you're in love with, that person, and that there's something between you, and all of a sudden you begin to hate that thing that's between you. You don't hate the one you love. You're wanting to get everything out of the way that's between you two.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden people start calling you what you're wrestling with instead of saying, no, he's in love with me. He just hates that thing that's trying to take me down. Our distance from the one who loves us is only measured not in feet, not in inches, not in miles. It's measured in sin. The more sin, the more distance. You see, God is in love with the sinner. God loves you. He just hates the thing that's in between you and him, that separates intimacy with him, you and him. He'll forgive it all. He loves you so much, he gave his son for that opportunity. It's so important for us to be sons and daughters of God. And a true son and daughter of God understands that no matter what, no matter how, no matter our loss because of sin or someone else's sin towards us, that God loves us and God loves them. Therefore, we love God and we love others. Therefore, to win the objects, mankind, of God's affection, we must make sure we let them know how much he loves them and why sin is preached against. It's the divider between him and them. And he so desperately wants to be with you, he will shake the world to let you know he loves you and he will forgive you. And he'll restore the years the locusts had devoured. And that's why all those religious mouths are trying to ridicule you and condemn you, because Satan's got their tongue going, no, you can't go to him. I'm jealous of the love that he has for you. I was thrown out of heaven because I wanted to be him. And don't you love him? And I don't want you to know the love he has for you. And then so he condemns you. He ridicules you. And God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. 1 John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, John says it in the letter he's writing to the church. He says, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this perspective, we've got to get this perspective. If not, you're going to sound like a jerk. you know, God's given you a love letter to deliver to somebody, and all you talk about is all the things that divide them from God's love, and you don't talk about them and that God loves them and God wants to spend time with them, and it's all about their intimate relationship, and God don't want to go between. You don't want you to be a go-between. He wants a personal relationship with them. And so this gross darkness is covering the earth, and you can just see it just kind of trying to defeat the very one thing that God loves. It's so important for us to do this one simple thing, and this is our driving force, and it's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission of everything else hangs on this. Everything in all creation hangs on this one thing I'm about to tell you. It's very simple, church. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the same. We'll be right back after this break. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and you're, you know, it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. And but you know, y'all remember you know, Jefferson Bethke, you remember where he had the I hate religion, but he loves God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a new one out called Counterfeit God. Uh-huh. And it's so powerful because we're talking about, you know, the perspective of the church, you know, and you got to hear this. I want to play this for you so you can hear. It's going to be available today on the VFN Torch. And I just love his perspective. It's a spoken word. So you'll hear him speak, you know, speak it out. And just a young man that's got a passion for God. His gift is a spoken word, and he talks. He confronts the church in his last one that he had done, and now he's talking about counterfeit gods. As a matter of fact, listen up.
You might say, I don't believe in God, but the Bible says, not possible. See, everyone has a God, whether or not it's the God of the gospel. You might not believe in God, but everyone has that one thing that's king. Even the dictionary defines God as whatever we make supreme, because it's a theme, it's a thread. You see it inside all human beings, the fact that we all worship. And no, it's not just about singing. Now, I know you like, Jeff, I don't worship. I put that on the shelf, but I say technically we all worship. We just worship ourselves. See, we all worship something. To an object, we're all liable. Ladies, to some, your boyfriend is your God, and Cosmo is your Bible. Yet, we mock and we laugh at the Israelites' golden calf, but we do the same thing right back. It just looks a little different than that. So, question, what's on your throne? See, what do you chase so that you don't feel alone? See, what defines you? What do you give ultimate worth? And what, if taken, would bring ultimate hurt? Now, see, that is your God. And all of us, we've sacrificed deep joy for shallow happiness. To be honest, we look like fools. We're like full-grown adults in the kiddie pool going, oh my goodness, guys, this is like so cool. Because we're slaves to our possessions. We're always craving something new. Reality check. If you can't give it up, you don't own it. It owns you. And that's why the Bible, it says we're spiritual prostitutes. In fact, it even says we're worse, because at least prostitutes get paid for their works. All we get paid is a hearse. And that's why worship, it's not just behavior. It goes way into our core. So ask, what is your God? What do you bow down before? For example, some of us, we don't worship God, but we worship what He said. We got theology in our head, but in our hearts, poor, pitiful, naked, and dead. Or some of us worship in stadiums, while some of us worship in bars. Some of us worship our possessions, while some of us worship our cars. See, some of us worship science, while some of us worship the arts, but I don't care what clothes your idol's wearing, the disease is the heart. Or my favorite is those guys who say, Jeff, I'm a man because I'm in control. Okay, then tell me, why can't you stop having sex with your hand while staring at your MacBook Pro? Or what about those guys who trade their wives for their jobs at work, give more time to their boss than their actual wives' needs or hurts? And ladies, no guy can love you more than Jesus already has. So stop putting your worth in Magic Mike. He's so much better than that. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, Jeff, are you saying that we should hate money, hate alcohol, and never have sex? No, but I'm saying God created those all to be enjoyed in their proper context. But I want to transition. I want to make a spiritual incision. Can we really say these things are the ultimate purpose of living? I mean, instead of worshiping the creator of you and I, we've all said, screw you, God, I'll take your stuff, but you can die. But that trade is terrible, trading God for man. It's like God offers us water, and we say, but God, this is such good sand. Or my friends, they'll say, Jeff, a God that requires me to give up something, I just can't fathom. Yet most of us seem fine giving up everything for a quick orgasm. I mean, am I the only one who's felt the gnawing within? Am I the only one who's felt the weight of my own sin? But see, here's what's unique. Go ahead and critique, but if you hear anything, hear this one thing that I speak. Where we exchange ourselves for God thinking we could be Him, He exchanged Himself for us, absorbing all our sin. I mean, God literally put on flesh, and do you see how He treated Him? The ultimate war veteran, because He was killed for our freedom. Nonetheless, He was thinking of you and me with every whip that beat Him, knowing full well we'd still go, nah, I don't really need Him. But like a father, He couldn't bear His children to not be free. So He thought up that tree, paid our fee for specks of dirt like you and me. So my plea is let Him restore His proper place. I promise He loves you right now. Just trust in His grace, because before I leave, I'll leave you with this. What are those other things took nails in their wrists? Or how about when's the last time money or sex forgave you? When's your boyfriend set you free from all you're enslaved to? See, what else died so that you could be made new? Or when's the last time the world promised satisfaction and actually came through?
So true, the church. He's talking to the ones who caught God's eye. He's talking to us. Mm-hmm. And it's so true if we apply the principles and understand that everybody has a God.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it?
What is it?
If only 3% of America, American church, says, God, you gave me this job. You gave me this increase. And we give Him His tithe and His offerings. Then He's our God.
Mm.
But if we say, I cannot afford to acknowledge you are the one who gave this to me.
Mm.
And so I cannot give you any of what you gave me. Then we say, money's God.
Mm.
And the mercies of God is that He would even let us still have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm. Mm.
This is such a now word. It's such a now word for our perspective that if we apply the principles and what you're even here with Jefferson and what he's talking about, and we're going to make that available to you today on the VFN Torch, that, listen, let God's Spirit confront you. Just be confronted. You know, it's amazing. It took me a long time to realize people avoid confrontation. They don't want to be, mm-hmm. they don't want, you know,
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, talk to me. I want to hear, give me some feedback. People aren't like that.
Nope.
They're going like, no, I have no problem. I have no idea that my leg's dragging behind me. I don't mm-hmm. even know it. And I just don't talk about it. Or not only is the elephant in the room, the elephant's sitting on you in the room. And they're going like, don't see it. Don't talk about it. You know, and it's like, but your life's miserable and the people are miserable around you, and that God loves you, and that, you know, that, but this is a battle for your heart. He's, you know, like Jefferson's saying, you know, the disease is not a matter of the flesh. The disease is a matter of the heart. And you think about dis-ease, where things are easy. And so your easy is no longer easy. It's been dis-ed. It's dis-eased. And you're anxious and you're nervous and you're worried and you're concerned because all of your gods are about to fall. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a religion. Maybe, you know, it's money. You know, maybe your God is America. Maybe you made God, America your God. You know, maybe you made your denomination a God. You know, maybe you made, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I mean, you know, it's amazing what people, maybe you've made your digital device God.
Mm.
You know, and how you know is that when you do without it, how do you respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really believe what's about to happen in America is there's going to be a God check. You know, things are going to stop for a little bit so that God, he says, the reason why I took you in the wilderness, we told Israel, the reason why I took my people in the wilderness to is to reveal what was in your heart. Now, he knew what was in their heart, but they didn't know what was in their heart. But when you get into a place that you no longer have your loaves, your garlic, your fishes, your idol, all the different things that you have in your life, you find out that, hey, you know, and you start, you may find out, like, I don't even know God. I knew of God, and I was very religious, but if I knew him, I would know he's with me now. But now I'm saying things like, I'm all alone, and there's nobody here for me, and I lost all my stuff. And God's going, like, didn't you tell everybody that you had me?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you tell everybody I'm the one that gave you that job?
That's right.
And if I'm the one that gave you that job, can I give you another job? Can I take you into the wilderness and take everything from you and give you over to your lovers so they don't want you anymore? And then finally you're left with nothingness, and then I could begin to whisper in your ear and restore. Can't I restore you and begin mm-hmm. to give things back to you one at a time to begin to show that, hey, I am the one that gave you the stuff before. It wasn't your lovers, but it was actually me who did it. And that's how God works.
Mm.
That's Hosea chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a process of God, and understand that it's a God check. You know, and it's sort of like this. If you're going to go into the military, you know, and you're going to go into boot camp, if you want to be prepared for it, you know, you start, you know, exercising. You know, you cut your hair, go ahead and cut it. Everybody always thinks that they cut it short, but when they get it, they find out there is shorter. I think I can see my neuroceptors in my brain for the hair. And that.
My ears got so big.
Yeah, ears, yes. And so you just start preparing for what you know is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can prepare now for this God check. And let me tell you, if you prepare now, there'll be a grace in your life that even though you have things don't have you. And so if they disappear for a little bit, if you're without them for a little bit, and you can brace yourself, like we've been talking about, you can listen to Brace Yourself, you know, on your application and highlights or on the VFN Torch, and understand that you can prepare yourself. And one thing is just begin to deny yourself. You know, pick up your cross and begin to deny yourself. Because Jesus said, if we don't do that, we can have no part of him. Despite what all the American major majority gospel is, you know, that we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. But we can only do that through the empowerment of the cross. But we have to at least entertain the probability that mm-hmm. I may have to say no to myself. You know, and say, God, I want to put you on the throne of my heart, because I may have you on 1 hour of one day of the week right now. That's where I got you, get that part of my life, but you don't have my every day. You don't have my every hour, you know, and I want you in the center of the throne of my heart. You want to invite mm-hmm. him in the throne of my heart. And so you can begin to prepare yourself now. Listen, it's a lot better than walking right straight into boot camp out of shape. You know, and all this stuff, you just got the shock. As a matter of fact, I know somebody right now that they went straight from that kind of mindset into this whole guarded, you know, cushioned, you know, naive life, and they went into the Navy,
mm-hmm.
and they just went in shock. They just went in shock. I'm in the Navy boot camp. Come on, you know, the Marines are going, really? Is that possible?
They give you a nice hat and a nice, you know.
Yeah, they were just in shock. I mean, they could not believe, because they did not prepare themselves for it. And they kind of went catatonic almost, mm-hmm. you know, and had to go through this whole process. And it's like, that's what's going to happen. You know, there's a God check about to happen. God's going to take you personally, maybe, or us as a people through a wilderness experience to reveal to us what he already knows is inside of us that we might not yet be aware of, mm-hmm. and realize that God only reveals things to heal things. He's not, you know, going, look at you. He's going, oh, I'm glad you noticed that. That's been around for a little bit. You need to go ahead and do away with that, you know, and then you got to go to him and say, Lord, you know, and you repent. This is the message that's not being preached today, is repent and be baptized. I mean, that was the first message of the church. Mm. And repentance is not a analytical decision. Repentance is changing not only your mind, but your heart and your direction and what you're doing with something. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be done in a decision in one moment, but your understanding of the cross of Christ, which needs to be available on VFN TV, cross of Christ and the dependency factor, is that you'll be empowered to walk that out by God. I mean, he requires something of us to do that we can't do outside of him, but we have to make the decision to do it before he will empower us to do it. And then we have to put our faith in his finished work on the cross that releases his spirit to do it. So what that, what that's called is abiding with God. By hanging out with God and trusting him in this, we can do this, but it's together. It's a relationship. And so if you have not yet, you know, learn how to abide with him, and it's very important. And there's a definition of abiding. I mean, and this is our definition of it. This kind of just explains it in a nutshell, is that you're hanging out with God on a regular basis. You're hiding his word in your heart. You're reading his word. You're reading it. You're reading the Bible, not people's viewpoint. You're reading the Bible. And you're hiding parts of that word in your heart. You're memorizing it. Why? Because he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. So by hiding, spending time with God and reading his word and memorizing it in our heart, it helps us to say no to sin and identify sin, because mm-hmm. the word is the truth. And so if a lie comes our way and we have the truth, we can go, I know that's a lie because I know the truth. And then we talk to God. Prayer is talking to him. Mm-hmm. And then we share, you know, our needs and what's going on. And then we listen to God. We just don't talk at him and leave. We listen to him and what he tells us or impresses on us to do. And we write that down, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then we go do it. That's abiding. And we have a simple plan for you to do that. If you presently do not have a simple plan, or, you know, we have one for you. You can request it for free right now. You can go to iabide.org. iabide.org. And read over a little bit. But you can request it. It comes instantly to you. Got a little simple little a video to be able to show you, you know, it's very basic. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And when you do, we have evidence from all age groups and all people across the land, different types of people, that if you'll apply this simple plan and do it with the right heart before God, God will meet you there. Mm-hmm. You just hang in there and watch God. You do it for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. It say, you know what, I'm going to take 6 weeks out of my, it takes 40 days to develop a habit, right? So they say, so just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm just going to do this for 6 weeks. And it tells you how to do it. It gives you a good plan to do it. You know, a lot of people want to do it. They just don't have a plan to do it. They need a plan to do it. And that's what that's about. It's iAbide. You think about it, you got iPads, you got iPhones, and you now you have iAbide. So go to iabide.org and get your plan today. We'll be right back. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person.
Yes.
Another person. It's living and active.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but
right.
but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen mm-hmm. instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, I've so enjoyed just everything we've been sharing this week on the VFN radio program. And, you know, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back, and we need to be ready.
Yes.
We need to be ready. And I was, you know, reading the Word and spending some time with God, and I was reading in Matthew 24 that, you know, no one knows the day or the hour. No one.
Even the ones that say they do.
Even the ones that say they do. And, you know, there's three things that we can definitely count on, that we can know that it's for sure. Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
Only the Father knows when.
Yes.
And we have to know, are we going to be ready?
Yes.
I mean, those are the three things that we have to really think about. You know, and the Word says that he's going to come back in a twinkling of an eye when we least expect it. And we got to keep guard. We have to keep watch. And we have to be aware for his coming. And, you know, the Bible continues to share that, you know, it's just going to be just like in the days of Noah. You know, think about Noah was talking teaching and preaching and building an ark in front of everyone for the world to see, for people to see at that time, you know, and yet they kept marrying, they kept carrying on life like everything was fine. And people are either ignoring, either they don't know the truth because someone hasn't told them, or they're just simply ignoring the reality that the Lord's coming back, and we have to live in such a way that, you know, let me tell you something. He's coming. He can come at any moment. Yes. He can come today. He can come tomorrow. He can come 5 years. He can come 20 years
come
from now.
Come quickly, Lord, come.
And he warned us. He warned us about false prophets. He warned us about, you know, following all these different signs that are not of him. And we shouldn't really get into trying to, you know, give too much stock into dates and times. And, you know, they're good-natured people that are trying to do their best to understand the word. But let's just hang on God's word, okay?
Yes.
No man knows the day or the hour.
Yeah.
Let's just settle on that. Let's just settle on that so that we can be ready. We can be ready. We talked about how much God loves us. Let me tell you something. It's going to be a sad, sad day. I think about those people that died in the flood during Noah's time. I mean, some of them were shocked. A great majority of them, when that door closed shut and they were banging on that ark, their nails were scraping against that you know, wood boat. Let us in, let us in. Let me tell you something. The day of salvation is today. You know, the opportunity to meet the Lord is right now. Don't put off tomorrow what you can, you know, do today. You know, I remember when I was in college, I had this weird, dumb idea, you know, imagining that could ever actually happen. But, you know, it did. It did. It was a weird, dumb idea in my mind. I thought that I would just go and live life and do what I wanted to do and party and just ignore God and put God in the back seat. And when I was ready, imagine that, when I was ready, I was going to turn my heart to him, you know. And I thought, you know, I know people that are Christians, you know, and my philosophy and that weird, dumb thought of mine was that, you know, when he is coming soon, I'm sure that the people of God will know, right, and they'll begin to tell everyone, and I'll just slip in through the back door. You know, hey, I'll get in right at that right time, and I had it figured out.
Like God wasn't watching everything you were doing and hearing everything you were thinking. Right?
Hello. Or
is
like
he merciful? Oh, my goodness.
Or like I wouldn't drop dead the next day.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I missed the opportunity while I was living this crazy life, you know? And you know, that's not good. That's not good. Today is the day. God loves us. His love is overwhelming. And, you know, his love was crucified. It was done on the cross for us. The question is, you know, as I heard someone say that your life right now is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life is your gift to God. You know, and God's loved us. He's blessed us. He died for all of our sins. What are we going to do with that love? Are we going to accept that love? Are we going to reject that love? Or are we going to say, God, you know, you're worthy of my heart. You're worthy of my life. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready when you come back. Because I don't know the day or the hour. And I just think that's a now word for us now. Yeah. Because, you know, it's not into, don't well, be listening to folks that they're giving you dates and times. It can happen at any moment.
That's so good because this what's about to happen.
Mm.
What's about to happen. And millions, supposedly, what we've heard, what others have heard, and what I have seen, you know, I've seen a lot of death, you know, where God has shown me, but people have literally said millions.
Mm.
And then understand if you're in that number, it doesn't matter what you were going to think tomorrow. If that tragedy hits and all of a sudden your life is lost, that's it. You only get one chance, one life.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know,
pointed once to die and then the judgment and then it happens. So you're so true. That's so true that make the choice now. You don't want to be scratching on the outside of the ark. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.